Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Boy, it was a tough one today. I thought it was a mistake on my phone. Then I pulled up a few websites. I thought it was a typo, and it wasn't. The markets took a huge dump today. The Dow was down 800 points.
Don't look at that 401k.
Don't do that. David, you don't have to sing. Thank you very much. Okay. What do we do? Let's turn to the expert. You can go to our website, thinkglink.com. It is Elise Glink. First of all, how are you, Elise?
Oh, Pete, I'm doing fine. How are you?
Oh, boy. Wow. 800 points. I mean, what? First of all, what happened today?
Well, what happened is a little bit of a blip on the technical side of things. So what we saw was something called an inverted yield curve. And what that means is that you get more money if you invest in short-term bonds than if you go for a long-term bond. And typically, normally, it's flipped around. So if you put your money away longer, you should get more back in interest.
Right.
But not right now. It slipped.
Oh, man. Boy, did it slip. I mean, are we going to see more of these days? I feel like August is, we've seen a few of these, haven't we? In the last month,
yeah,
I guess.
Let's just say the last week has been kind of crazy. But you know what's really interesting here, and I think this is what spooked the bond market, is since 1955, so about 100 years before I was born, we have seen an inverted yield curve like this before every single recession. And it has been a very reliable indicator that a recession is coming. And so the bond market said, oh, my goodness, this flipped. We must be having a recession coming down the pike, and then that's why stocks basically fell off a cliff today.
Oh, my gosh. That was my next question, because that's all I read today. Are the markets flashing that a recession could be on the horizon? Is it happening? So what are your thoughts? Are we seeing inflation and recession? What's going to happen here?
No inflation that anybody can speak of. I mean, that's been in check, so that's good. Up until today, you've seen actually a really good, strong, fairly diversified economy, but there have been some warning signs. So one of the warning signs I thought was interesting today is, and I'm sure you're not going to guess what I'm going to say here, but Macy's had a really bad quarter. And they said that they had to discount heavily to get rid of inventory, and there weren't enough foreign buyers who were coming to their shops. So it turns out the people from around the world descend upon the U.S. to do their shopping, and then they go home with all their new purchases.
Right.
And that isn't happening, right? People are not coming to the U.S. quite the way they were in years past for a variety of reasons. And so that's really hitting the bottom line, not only Macy's, but other retailers. And retail is already, you know, bricks and mortar, right? They're already in trouble because of the internet.
Well, when was the last time you walked into a Macy's?
They just closed the one at Northbrook Court, and that was the last time I walked into one, was like a few months ago.
I mean, as soon as you said that, I flashed to State Street because I live downtown, and that was my store, but I can't even tell you the last time I walked into Macy's. If I'm going, if I'm not buying clothes online, Elise, I am either going to Nordstrom Rack or Marshall's to buy shirts.
Or you go to Costco. So one of the interesting retail stories,
yes.
I know you're going to laugh at this, but one of the really interesting retail stories of the year, in my mind, is that Costco has emerged as a huge clothing retailer. And I think they did something like $6 billion worth of clothing sales last year.
It's crazy that you say that, because I was just there and bought my son an Adidas t-shirt. They have great clothes at Costco, and who would have thunk that?
Yeah, it's different. They started out small. They had shoes, and then they had socks and underwear, kind of your basic stuff. And then they started with some dress shirts for men, and they added to those dress shirts, and they made them the kind that are wrinkle-free. You throw them right in the dryer, and they come out. They look pretty awesome. And then they started adding other kinds of clothes. And what they've done now is, if you go there, you see that they've made different kinds of deals with brand names, and you can buy a lot of different kinds of clothes there. And then they have these special collections that come in. And I'm not you know, saying this to just sort of heap on Costco is, you know, appraise them. But it's interesting to watch a company move in this direction when, as retail stores in general are not doing so well. But Costco is thriving and Sam's Club is thriving, Walmart, Target, places that were, you wouldn't have never, not always thought about them for being clothing first, are now doing very big business in those.
Right. And they're trying to make those stores a destination on the weekend. So you bring the entire family, like Costco, you get the food samples, you can buy clothes there, you can stock up on food. Target, it's the same way. Now it's a grocery store, same with Walmart. So they're trying to do all in one, so it's one-stop shopping.
Yeah, they are. And don't downplay or not play enough the idea that you can get your prescriptions there as well.
Oh,
and
yeah?
In many cases, you know, it's fresh food options also. And so what these stores are doing is kind of becoming department stores all in one, but of different kinds of things that you might normally have thought of in a regular kind of shopping mall. And so, you know, stores like Macy's, Lord & Taylor, they've really kind of fallen out of favor, and it's troubling for malls where those were the anchor tenants. But, you know, to go back to today, I mean, the stock market is really not knowing what to make of the big issue on the minds of most traders right now, which is the tariffs and what Trump is saying to China, not only just about how they're treating Hong Kong protesters who've been, you know, disrupting operations at their airport in Hong Kong, but also just back and forth on trade and how that's affecting different parts of our economy. And I think there's a lot of uncertainty as to what's going on out there. And when there's uncertainty, the market takes advantage of that.
Oh, we're talking with Elise Glink. You can go to our website, thinkglink.com. The president doesn't help. Does he?
Well, it depends. You know, if you think that piling on Jay Powell, who's the Federal Reserve, president, yes, then he's helping. But
no.
I would say that this is not really helping so much.
Not at all. So where would you put new money to work in the world today? Where would you?
So I know that.
Go ahead.
I know, Pete, this is going to be hard for you to hear, because our instinct is when something like this happens, grab the money and run. But what I want everybody to do is just take a deep breath. Just look even what happened this week. We saw the market drop 700 points. I think it was Monday. Tuesday, it went all the way up. Mm-hmm. Now we're down 800 points. You have no idea which way the market's going. All I can tell you is that in 10, 20, 30 years, if you leave your money where it is today, if you continue on the investment, long-term investment plan that you have, your money will continue to grow. And the chances are that in 20, 30 years, when you go time to, you know, retire and use that money, you'll have more in it than you would if you take your money out today and go head for the hills. So
of course,
try to stay the course.
Buy fear, sell greed.
That's a nice way of putting it. I just kind of say, ignore the market, ignore social media, Turn off Jim Cramer on CNBC, and try to forget the idea that you're doing anything other than just living your life every day.
I tweeted that out today, buy fear, sell greed, because everybody's first reaction, like you said, is to sell. Oh my God, the market's down. I got to sell everything. Well, why would you sell when the market's down? You got to hold on to it. It's going to rebound. I don't know. We all freak out. And, you know, that's why you shouldn't look at your 401k on a regular basis, because you're going to get a stomachache.
Yeah, I wouldn't even look, you know, pay very much attention to it. In fact, it's funny because my kids are finally at the very end of college. In fact, we just made the last payment for my younger son's college education. He's going to finish up in December, and they still even have some money left over in their 529 plans. And so I called our investment advisor, and I said to him, hey, you know, the kids are done. I know I told you they needed to, you know, be in very conservative investments while we were paying for college, but now they're done, and we don't know, maybe they'll have grad school in the future. Let's make it more aggressive investing. And, you know, basically, I don't intend to look at that money again until, you know, our younger son says, hey, I'm ready to go to business school, or I'm ready to, you know, continue on with schooling.
Right.
And that's really the whole way to treat the market. You know, it has to be there for when you need it, so you make smart decisions, and then you just kind of forget about it. It's really the best thing to do.
Just got a text message. Can you please ask Elise, what are chances for the bill currently in Congress that would allow investors to delay taking RMD until age 72? This would help many seniors to ride out a recession if there are other resources/salary.
Right. So there's a requirement. RMD is required minimum distribution. And when you get to a certain age, I believe it's 70 and a half, you have to start making your required minimum distributions based on your expected, your life expectancy.
Right.
And right now, you know, they do it out as, on an actuarial table. And so you take out, let's say, 1/20th, right, with the idea that you might live to 85 or you might live to 90. They're thinking of pushing out the year when you have to start taking it for a couple of reasons. One is so that you can ride out these kinds of downturns, right, because you don't have to take money out when the market is low. But also because people are living longer, and their money has to last. And so there's this movement to rethink what age people have to be when you start taking money out of your 401k or your IRAs, and that maybe because people are now living to be 85, 90, 95, 107, you might want to just let people stretch that out a bit. Maybe they're able to work longer, and you don't want them being forced into a position where by the time they are 95, they're out of money, and then they become basically, you know, the taxpayer's responsibility if they don't have family members to help. So I think it's a good idea. I think we're going to see some movement on that bill, and I do think that it's very likely that if that particular bill doesn't pass, that there could be some, maybe they switch around the number and it's 80 and not 82, but I do think we're going to see an extension.
How many times have you heard or seen a senior that lives to be 95 and they do run out of money? It breaks my heart.
It does. The mom of my very good friend, her name is Barbara, she's 94, 95, and she does have plenty of money, which is terrific, and still driving, although I think she's maybe going to give up her license this year, one hopes. But, you know, you don't want to see somebody who's like that and not able to live the way they want to live. And so it would be nice to figure out a way to help baby boomers who are now aging into that bracket, and who now have parents they're taking care of as well, find a way to help them out as they start this, you know, last phase of their lives.
Right. Wow. Elise, when the market dropped, I turned to Michael or I sent him a text. I go, you got to get Elise on. We got to tell you. He's like, I'll send her a text. Thank you. Because, you know, we've talked before, and I've heard you fill in for Bertrand many, many times during the Wintrust Business Lunch. And you just dumb it down for people like me where I can understand it. You really do.
Well, you're very kind to have invited me, and it was a lot of fun to chat, Pete, and I look forward to our next encounter on the Bertrand Show.
I love it, and I hope the next time we talk, the market doesn't drop another 800 points, okay?
Yeah, me too. How about that?
ThinkBlink.com is her website, Elise Glank. Have a great night. Thanks for staying up.
Thank you.
All right, it's 720 WGN.